Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13, Paul is addressing here, of course, the church at Galatia. Listen carefully to what he says, chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Conflict is a part of all of our lives. And if you take Bible in hand, you will not turn many pages until you start finding stories of conflict. Genesis chapter 4, the conflict between Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 25, the conflict between Esau and Jacob. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the conflict between David and Goliath. The conflict between Israel and the Philistines. Mark chapter 6, the conflict between John the Baptizer and Herod. Acts chapter 7, the conflict between Stephen and the Sanhedrin council. Acts chapter 15, the conflict between Paul and Barnabas. Galatians chapter 2, the conflict between the apostle Paul and the apostle Peter. I'm saying that conflict is a part of all of our lives. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to begin by breaking down the text that we just read. So from Galatians chapter 5, let's take a look here at what Paul said. Look at verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Now, because we are Christians, we enjoy freedom. We are free from the penalty and the guilt of our sins. As Christians, we are free from the slaveries that the world and the devil offer. We are free in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. But that freedom does not mean that we have a right to say and to do anything that we want to say and do. Listen. Within freedom, there are always boundaries. Within freedom, there are always limits. You say, but that doesn't make sense. Look, sure it does. We are Americans. We live in America. America is a free country, but we are not free to do anything that we want to do. The fact that we are free does not mean we are free to rob and take something that belongs to somebody else. Within freedom, whatever the freedom is, within freedoms, there are boundaries and there are limits. So Paul says, look, You're Christians because you are. You have freedom, but you're not free to do anything that you want to do. Now look at verse 14 and the first part of verse 15. The entire law is summed up in a single commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring. Now within the church at Galatia, there was a serious conflict going on. Now, we're not given any names of who was involved in it. We're not given a number and how large this conflict was, other than this was a very serious conflict. And the reason we know that it was so serious is because the Apostle Paul uses two very unusual words to describe this conflict: biting and devouring. And those two words that the Apostle Paul chose to use to describe this conflict, were two words that were used by the ancient Greeks to describe wild animals who are in a struggle with each other. So whatever was going on in this congregation at Galatia, whatever this conflict were, they were going at each other like wild animals were. Then the Apostle Paul lays down this principle. And I could talk the whole sermon about this principle, but I'm only going to talk about it 60 seconds. Again, look at verse 15. He says, if you keep on biting and devouring, now here is the principle. He says, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Now, brethren, listen to me carefully. Here's the principle. Either we learn how to get along with each other or we destroy each other. And that is true about every relationship in life. Look, at home, either we learn how to get along with each other or we destroy each other. At work, we either learn how to get along with each other or we destroy each other. Brethren, look at society. Listen, if we don't learn how to get along with each other, we're going to destroy each other. And in the church, if we don't learn how to get along with each other, we will destroy each other. Please understand, the church of Jesus Christ does not have to be destroyed by pagans on the outside. The church can self-destruct if the people on the inside can't get along with each other. So conflict, it's a part of all of us. And this morning, what we want to do now is we want to take a look about how to manage conflicts that we're in. We want to talk about how to resolve these different conflicts of life. So this morning, I want to give you four scriptural solutions to managing conflicts. Because you're involved in them. I'm involved in them. We're all involved in them in different places. So what do we do about all this? Four scriptural solutions to conflicts. Number one is this. In managing conflicts, try to solve the problem of each day. Try to solve the problems of each day. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and verse 27, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not let the devil have a foothold. Now, notice what Paul says. He says, in your anger. Listen, the Apostle Paul understood that everybody gets angry. Amen. Notice what he didn't say. Paul did not say, don't get angry. That's not what he said. Because he understood that everybody gets angry. But here is the key. We will oftentimes do things and we will oftentimes say things when we are angry that we won't otherwise say or do. Amen. All danger isn't sinful, but all danger is dangerous. All anger isn't sinful, but it's all dangerous. It's all dangerous. Now, why is it dangerous? Verse 27, he says, do not give the devil a foothold. You see, it is through our anger that many times the devil can move into our lives and move into our hearts. So what is the solution to that? The solution to that is found at the end of verse number 26 when Paul says, do not let the sun go down while you are angry. What is he saying? Listen, try to resolve your conflicts within the framework of today. If there is a conflict today, deal with that conflict today. But that's not what we do. Here's what we do. We get angry. And then we go to bed. And then we start tossing and we start turning. And then what do? Then we start thinking about things that we should have said when the conflict happened the day before. Well, you know what? I should have said that at that point, and I should have said that, and I should have said that. And then it doesn't stop there. We finally get to the point to where we say, well, I'll tell you this. If the sun rises up on another day, I'll tell him and I'm going to say all that to him. Listen. No. No. You take the conflicts of each day and deal with it that day. Use each day as a unit within itself to deal with that conflict. Second day anger never works out well. And 5-year anger never works out well either. We all have to deal with conflict. Listen, you have to do something with your conflicts. So how can we best manage them? Number one, try to solve the problems of each day. If something comes up today, take care of it today. Number two, how do we manage conflicts? How do we deal with these things? Number two, you have to be willing to forgive. You have to be willing to forgive. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the last verse, and then into chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, listen to what Paul said. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, let me begin here. The divisions of chapters and verses in your Bible are not inspired. Paul did not come to the end of chapter 4 and say, well, okay, that's the end of chapter 4, now I'm going to start chapter 5. He didn't do that. These were epistles. An epistle is a letter. He's just writing a letter. When you write a letter, you don't put chapters and verses in it. The division in the Bible of chapters and verses were added later. You say, well, why did they do that? So we could easily find what we're looking for. Now, here's the sad part. Verse 32 of chapter 4 actually goes with chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. Now watch what Paul says. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Let's start there. Brethren, it is important that we understand who we are. We are God's dear children, and God loves us. We are the children of God. We are dear to Him, and He loves us. That's who we are. Now look at verse 2. And live a life of love. Because we are loved by God, we need to live so that God's love is reflected in our lives. Did you hear and understand what I just said? We are loved by God as His dear children. Now we should live a life that reflects His love. And as we live and as we love in our lives, His love should be reflected in us. Now here's the question. How do I live and how do I love in such a way that reflects God's love in my life? Verse 32. The way I do it is I forgive others as God has forgiven me. You can't get away from this. God loves me. So as I live in love, I must reflect His love. Well, how am I going to do that? By forgiving others as He forgave me. Now, let's ask the real question here. What does it mean to forgive? Listen to me. I know what it means in that context. I know what it means to forgive in that context. What forgive means in that context is that if I'm going to live in love and if I'm going to forgive others as God has forgiven me, then when I forgive them, I don't bring it up anymore. That's the way God forgives. And aren't you glad? How would you feel if every time you made a mistake, God reached back in your past and threw up in your face everything you did wrong? What does it mean to forgive? In this context, it means that I'm going to forgive like God forgives, and when God forgives, it don't get brought back up. If you keep bringing it up, you haven't forgiven. Now look carefully at verse 1 again, chapter 5 and verse 1. Look carefully at that. The New International Version says, be imitators of God. Your translation may say, be followers of God. The word that Paul used in chapter 5 and verse 1 is where we get our English word mimic. We are to mimic God. Well, what does that mean? That means that we are to do exactly what God did. What did God do? He forgave. He forgave. This is one of the most unusual stories I've ever told. A preacher told me once that he was taking a trip in an airplane. He says, the plane takes off, and the guy sitting next to me, we start talking, and the guy next to me, he said, was a member of the church. So he says, we're talking back and forth, and he says, the man told me this. Grown man. He says, I was raised in the church. And he says, every Sunday in church, he said, my mother would take off her rings and her bracelets, her jewelry, before she took the Lord's Supper. He said, every Sunday. He said, she never said a word about it. He said, I never said a word about it. But the whole time I grew up, every single Sunday when we got ready for the Lord's Supper, he said, my mother would take off her jewelry. So he said, when I grew up, he said, every Sunday when we get ready to take the Lord's Supper, he says, I take off my wedding ring and my watch. He said, every Sunday. He said, I noticed one Sunday, my 15-year-old boy, I saw him take off his watch and take the Lord's Supper. Are you listening?
Yes.
You listening?
Yes.
That 15-year-old boy was never instructed in his life to do that. Nobody ever told him, this is what you ought to do. But that boy saw his grandmother and he saw his father do that, and that boy mimicked what he saw in them. That is exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying in Ephesians 5 and in verse 1. What you have saw God do dealing with others, you mimic what he did. Woo! Amen. Amen. Look, we got conflicts. Amen. Look, man, people next door are just cranky. You just can't get along with them. We go to work or everywhere, there's just conflict. What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. Here are some scriptural instructions on how to manage your conflict. Try to solve the problems of each day. Don't let it go by and then take it to bed with you and then the next day and the next day and the next day. Listen, we know how that works. We make mountains out of molehills. Number two, be willing to forgive. And I'm going to tell you another reason you ought to forgive is because the alternative to forgiving somebody is to not forgive them. And if you choose not to forgive them, you end up carrying around all kind of garbage in your heart that shouldn't be in your heart. Just let it go. Number three. The third scriptural solution to managing conflict is to listen. Listen and listen. James chapter 1 and verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The word everyone in that verse and the structure of that verse, that word means this. Every relationship of your life, that's what you do. Listen, the relationship between a husband and wife, be quick to listen. The relationship between parents and children, listen. The relationship between employer and employee, listen. The relationship between your brothers and sisters in Christ, listen. Now, if you don't know this, you need to trust me until you understand this. There are a lot of conflicts in life that would be taken care of if we didn't do anything else in the world but just listen. That's truth. That's truth. And what a lot of people, listen, what a lot of people want isn't your action. They want you to listen. But we don't listen. You ever get in a conflict? And the answer to this is yes. You ever get in a conflict? Well, you know, the whole thing was just a misunderstanding. You know why it was a misunderstanding? Because everybody's talking and nobody's listening. We need to listen. We get in conflicts with people, and so they're talking to us. But we're not listening. What are we doing? We're not listening. They're telling us, look, this is what the problem is, and they're coming at us. We're not listening. What we're doing is getting together what we're going to say when they get done. Amen. That's what we're going to do. Listen, they're coming at us. We're not listening. Our silence, we're reloading. Listen. Listen. People come to me, they say, listen, you need to talk to me. And I'll say, okay, so we'll meet. Okay, what do you want me to talk to you about? That's what I ask them. And so they'll start talking. We'll sit there for 45 minutes. And in those 45 minutes, here's what I'll say. Okay. I can see that. And they'll get up. Preacher, I feel so much better that you have talked to me about this. Listen to me. What did they want? Somebody who just listened? Somebody who just listened? Just listen. When grandma wants to talk to you, listen. Oh, yes. What do you mean? Oh, no. Oh, yes. You've heard the story 100 times. So what? You'll be old someday and telling it too. Listen. We don't listen. People are talking. We ain't listening. And then 5 minutes later, they asking us about it. And we're like, well, what are you talking about? Amen. Conflicts. Listen, we have them everywhere. Let me give you one more. This is a big one. Let me give you one more. Be willing to admit when you're wrong. Now, did anybody say, yeah, yeah, talking about themselves or somebody else? Now, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Listen to what Jesus said. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two along, others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 17. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as a pagan or as a tax collector. Now let me ask you something. What's wrong with this guy? He won't admit that he's wrong. He sins against you, and so you go to him, but he, no, what me? So you get two or three witnesses and bring back, no. Now you got the whole church. His problem is he won't admit that he's wrong. Listen, when you mess up, then own it. Just say, look, man, I messed this up. It's my fault. I'm sorry. I'm going to do better, and then do better. Because I'm going to tell you this. If you have this spirit that you will not admit when you're wrong, if you have this spirit, you are not going to get along with people. You are not going to get along with folks at home. You're not going to get along with folks at work. You're not going to get along with folks in the community. And you're not going to get along with folks in the church. When you mess up, then own it. Say, I messed it up, and I'm going to do better. And then bless God, stand up and do better. Now, let's put it all together. We have conflicts, don't we? Every one of us. And they come from just from everywhere. What am I going to do? Try to solve the problem of each day. It happened today. Deal with it the best way you can today. Then leave it alone. Leave it alone. If you've settled it today, there's no need for you to come back next week and settle it again. If you resettling it, it wasn't settled to begin with. Be willing to forgive. Be willing to forgive. Listen, every one of us has too much sin hanging off of us not to forgive somebody else. Be willing to forgive. Then listen. Listen. You'd be amazed at how relationships would improve if you listen. And then be willing to admit that when you're wrong. I mess this up. What can I do to fix this? It won't happen again. And then live that way. We can't live without having conflicts because all of us got flesh wrapped around us. But there are things we can do to help manage those conflicts so that they don't have to destroy our lives. Now, here's what's going on. I'm done. I'm talking to somebody right now, and you've had something going on, a conflict with somebody, and it's been going on forever. Look, put an end to that. Put an end to that. Why do you carry this trash around with you all the time? Just go to them and fix it. Well, I'm gonna make them apologize to me first. Listen, you go apologize. You go apologize. Listen, there's not a friend, I mean this, there's not a friend that I have in this world that I wouldn't go and apologize to if it'd get the friendship back. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We can fix these things. This morning, if you're here and if you're not a Christian, you need to fix that. And you can fix that this morning by being immersed in Christ for the remission of your sins. But please don't leave here this morning thinking that you've let these conflicts hang out and that somehow that's okay. That's not okay. Do what you need to do this morning to clean your heart and to clear your heart. And if you need to come, God help you to do that right now as together.